Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome back to the Australian Chiropractors National Podcast. I'm your podcast host, Dr. Kim Lejeune. I'd like to begin our podcast by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we record this podcast and pay our respects to the elders past and present. We recognise and honour their ongoing connection to land, waters and culture and community. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening in today. As you all know, the ACA are very much committed to supporting all chiropractic education in Australia. And today we're turning our attention to the chiropractic program that has recently been established at Victoria University. I'm joined by Dr. Ken Young. Ken is an associate professor at Victoria University in Melbourne, where he's currently developing a new chiropractic course. Ken has worked at institutions in the USA and UK, as well as at Murdoch University in Perth, prior to his current position. He got his PhD in 2018. He's a diplomat of the American Chiropractic Board of Radiology and a fellow at the Higher Education Academy in the UK. His research interests include mechanisms of manipulation, professionalism, and knowledge translation. Ken, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Ken.
Oh, it's wonderful. And I know you're a very, very busy man. We sort of touched on this off air. And I really appreciate you making the time. And if in any way that we can support any chiropractic program, certainly the one that we're going to dive into, we're really in support. Like, as an ACA board director, we just can't be more supportive of the program. So thank you for taking the time to chat to us about it.
Well, thanks. No, the support from the ACA has been obvious. I've been meeting regularly with members of the ACA, and everybody's been just so helpful and supportive. It's great. Yeah,
it's an absolute pleasure. And so we wish you all the luck with the upcoming course. But let's dive into a few questions that we can probably enlighten our listenership to. Let's start with the big picture. The chiropractic program now has obviously a new home, like I said, in Victoria University. What does that move really represent for chiropractic education in Australia?
Well, it's an opportunity to fill the demand within Victoria, but even across Australia, for chiropractic graduates who've been university educated using modern, evidence-based curriculum of the highest academic quality.
Okay, that's really good. We're going to dive into a little bit more detail about that. I want to sort of, ask a few different questions surrounding the teaching models and the information that the syllabus in particular. Being part of Victoria University, though, this obviously brings new academic and clinical environments. What opportunities will students gain by studying chiropractic at Victoria University that maybe they may not have had access to previously?
Well, one of them just has to do with the location. The chiropractic course will be centered at the City Tower campus of VU, which is right in the heart of the CBD. So it's accessible from all the suburbs around Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But it does run on a multi-campus model. Because VU has a variety of campuses around Victoria and interstate as well. And I believe they're developing international campuses now. So there's a lot going on at VU. But for instance, it gives students the opportunity to study, for instance, anatomy at the facility at the St. Albans campus. And those anatomy facilities, I've gone out in it and looked at them, and they are among the best I've ever seen. The anatomists there insisted that anatomy be up in an open space with windows, not stuck down in a dank basement the way it often is.
I remember that actually.
Yeah. And it's just a phenomenal facility. They can do their own plastination. If you're familiar with the Gunther Hagen's Body World stuff,
yes,
they can do that process there. And they're actively engaged with the various disciplines that use anatomy teaching to find samples that suit their needs. So I'll be working with the anatomists there to find some examples that that they can preserve that'll help our chiropractic cohorts. Then the biomechanics facilities out at Footscray Park are, again, among the best I've ever seen. It's almost like an airport hangar size facility filled with all kinds of high-tech equipment. It's got a three-story roller shutter door so that the Western Bulldogs players, because VU has a partnership with the Western Bulldogs AFL team, they can come in and do their huge kicks, right?
Be
analyzed on a force plate measuring floor with markerless motion camera capture systems.
Oh, I see.
All kinds of stuff, and apparently the machines can all talk to each other to give this sort of aggregated data. It's amazing, and students will take some units at that facility out in Footscray Park as well. So in addition to that, students will gain access to interprofessional learning. Now, often interprofessional education or IPE is an ad hoc sort of affair based on personal relationships between members of two different disciplines. But at a recent learning and teaching committee meeting, VU has taken they accepted a motion to structurally embed in a sustainable way interprofessional education in the health professions. And this is really important because we know that the public and regulators and policymakers and, you know, the CBA and APRA and CCEA all require that graduates now have collaborative interprofessional networking skills so that, you know, the public who we serve can get the right care from the right person in a timely fashion. And this is what guides all the decisions that we're making at VU for the course. It's about ultimately we'll be helping develop healthcare professionals to serve the public in that way, you know.
To serve them in a collaborative manner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's incredibly important. And and so, you know, these are the sort of opportunities that VU is going to be offering to the chiropractic students.
Yeah. I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to collaborate with other professionals. Obviously, the patient outcome is the ultimate end goal. And if you're all collaborating in one direction, the only thing that can be gained is a positive outcome for the patient's health goals, right?
Absolutely.
This begs to ask the other question. And actually, no, I'll come back to that because I'll circle back to that because there's a number of things we want to discuss about that because I think that's a really important point, what you said there in terms of the collaboration. From the student and, say, the educator's perspective, you sort of touched on it, but what are the most meaningful changes that come with being embedded in, like Victoria University? What I mean by there's more regarding the culture, the academic side of things, and even clinically.
That's a big question.
There's a lot of questions I've got, and I'm going to circle each time with a slightly different way of asking it, I guess.
Well, culturally, students will join a supportive, health-focused community, right? The main campus of VU is in Footscray Park, which is in the western suburbs of Melbourne. This area is more culturally and economically diverse than other parts of Melbourne. And so it draws a diverse cohort of students, right? Large proportions of VU students speak a language other than English at home and are the first in their families to attend university. And so the idea of lifting everyone, whatever their background, is a major cultural component at VU. And it's driven from the VC on down. Now, you also mentioned academically. So academically, VU Cairo students will benefit from contemporary teaching and assessment methods. We're going through an assessment refresh. Much of it has to do with the sudden massive rise of artificial intelligence and large language learning models, those sorts of things. I was fortunate in that the Associate Dean's Learning and Teaching knew that this assessment refresh was coming as the chiropractic course was being developed. And so all the assessments that we have put into the chiropractic units were built from the ground up to be at least 60% secure. That means that AI can't write those for the students, and aligned with unit level and course level learning outcomes. So it's all built in. So highly rigorous academically. And then also the block model, which we'll talk about later. Engaging teaching methods, and some of the strongest student support structures that I've ever seen in place. VU doesn't just talk the talk; they walk it as well in terms of supporting students and the transition from year 12 into university life, and how to do that successfully, particularly from communities that have been traditionally underserved by higher education. So it's excellent in that regard as well. And this has led to really increased student retention at VU. The third thing you mentioned, I think, was clinically. So students will gain exposure to diverse patients, simulated at first and then real, and team-based care in a multidisciplinary environment. So currently at the City Tower in the CBD, there's an osteopathy clinic. So it's all set with treatment rooms and tables that are perfectly amenable to chiropractic care. I will be getting a few specialist chiropractic tables, like with drop pieces and flexion distraction capabilities and things like that. Some pelvic blocks for those sorts of interventions as well. But the basic infrastructure is there, and the idea is then to bring the chiropractic students into it and make it a multidisciplinary clinic. Just circling back to IPE, so I don't leave it off. For the past, I think it's either 2 or 3 years, physiotherapy, who are based more at Footscray Park, have run a 2 or 3 week multidisciplinary clinic with the osteopathy students. So physio and osteo supervisors have been in the same environment with physio and osteo students, working together completely collaboratively, and it's been a huge success, and they've been just ironing out the issues as they move forward. Everybody loves it. The patients love it, the staff love it, the students love it. By the time the chiropractic students get there in a few years, I expect it to be just a well-oiled machine, and we can feed right into that. So there's a huge amount that VU is offering students.
Yeah, yeah, that's really wonderful to hear, and I do hope that collaboration aspect comes into play. Which obviously one of the questions I do want to check in on you with is you mentioned osteopathy and physiotherapy are already in the mix and they're working very well together. How important is it to ensure that each profession maintains a clear and confident professional identity, and from our perspective as chiropractic or chiropractors and also the possible chiropractic students, how do we actively ensure that the chiropractic students understand what makes them distinct and unique as opposed to, say, with the other existing osteopathy and physiotherapy already that's there?
Yeah. Professional identity has been shown to lead to better clinical outcomes and higher job satisfaction. That is a stronger professional identity, right? Mm-hmm. So I see it as essential to help our students start developing it from the outset. The chiropractors here will be taught about being holistic healthcare professionals who use manual methods, including active manual methods, which are mostly passive, but then also active self-empowering care, and can work within a network of providers to ensure that patients get the individual care that they need in the timeliest fashion. And this will be reinforced across all years at VU.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because ultimately that's pretty much what it's like in the real world when they graduate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's on my mind all the time. Is how can we make this the most like the real world as possible, even though it's in a safe environment, right? But we want to try to give them a realistic picture of what the world of being a chiropractor is like.
Yeah, I think that's really important, because certainly it starts by having an identity, like you just said. It's really important. And at times I have seen and met with young students who have graduated, and there's a bit of an identity issue. They don't really distinctly understand or know where they fit in society with what they do. And so I think it's critically important, as you just stated, that to hone in on their identity as chiropractors, but knowing the bigger picture of where they play in society, and then hopefully the collaboration and the nature of how you guys are in trying to work together with the other professionals in the mix to be able to highlight how that's going to play out in the real world when they get out there.
Yeah,
that's really good. Tell me, okay, I want to talk about the elephant in the room here. All right, we're gonna dive in.
Sure.
We know what this elephant in the room is. I guess to some degree, a lot of chiropractors that I've spoken to and a lot of people in the profession are understandably nervous after what had happened at RMIT. Two things, one of which, will the course be kind of essentially the same, or are we talking something completely different? And secondly, the second part of that question is, what lessons have we learned in order to try and safeguard we don't want history repeating itself, but how can we safeguard that to which has happened at RMIT?
Well, let me start with the second part first. Yep. You mean the history of a chiropractic course being canceled at a university?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. The elephant in the room, for one of them.
Yeah. I don't know. There are a lot of elephants walking around here. Anyway. Look, of course, there are no guarantees in life, right?
Yeah.
But there is support at VU for chiropractic all the way to the top. I'm told it was actually the vice chancellor's idea. He has a personal knowledge of chiropractic, and he saw that it fit in with the suite of other health professions that are offered at VU. So all the way down the chain. So that's always good.
Mm-hmm. As long as he stays there, then.
Yes, absolutely. That is important. There's no signs of him leaving.
That's great.
It seems to be a stable leadership structure.
Excellent.
And all signs are positive there.
Fantastic.
So safeguards. Well, look, evidence-based practice is incredibly important, right? The public policymakers, the CCEA, the CBA, OPRA, and VU all require that the chiropractic course be evidence-based and that graduates are ready to provide collaborative, person-centered care in multidisciplinary environments, right? Mm-hmm. Just what we've been talking about. So that's what we're working towards, right? And if we stick with that, I don't see why the course wouldn't be successful and long-lived here at VU. Mm-hmm. In addition, VU has strong institutional oversight. These people have been involved in developing the course from the beginning. VU has stable resourcing, right? We're actually in a budget surplus when many other universities are struggling. And there are clear quality assurance frameworks. And the staff who I've worked with, I've found every single one of them to be consistently willing to go out of their way to be helpful, right? Mm-hmm. I feel incredibly well supported at VU here for what we're doing with developing the course. Mm-hmm. I'm working hard to develop collegial relationships with staff from the other disciplines, as well as with people with responsibility for areas like academic governance, learning and teaching, and research. Right, people often point to the examples like RMIT and in the early 2000s, the University of Surrey in the UK, with true support for their chiropractic course. Right, they use those examples to indicate that somehow chiropractic programs are more vulnerable in universities, but I don't think that's true. Right, history shows dozens and dozens of private chiropractic colleges that have come and gone over the years. Right, so it's a matter of, this is a little bit of luck involved, of course,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like with anything in life, but it's a matter of creating a strong course that demonstrates integrity and works to principles, and generates high quality practitioners, and that's the recipe for success, right? The overarching question that you're getting at is about what's the best setting for chiropractic education, right? Universities or private colleges. I've worked in both settings. And, for me personally, I see a huge advantage at chiropractic being in universities. First is economies of scale, right? So chiropractic at VU will assimilate into existing spaces like teaching rooms that already have tables. There are three big teaching rooms filled with, I think it's a total of about 75, technique tables. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to right out of the box say, I need $150,000 to buy tables, right?
Yeah.
So we can work into that space. And then the outpatient osteo clinic that I've mentioned before. Right, multiple disciplines need topics like anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, public health, and more. Right, and a university can hire specialists with the deepest knowledge that can teach across multiple disciplines. And at VU, I've found a willingness, even an eagerness, for the people who teach those units to work with course chairs like myself to tailor those subjects to the cohorts and include the needs of each discipline. And then we've already mentioned the interprofessional education, right? And the opportunities that VU will offer in that realm. I won't hammer that again too hard, there's a lot that's in place and a lot of positive signs just in the environment.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm glad that you're very confident in that role and leading that role too, because obviously it's really important from, say, a professional point of view as a working chiropractor, that we know that the graduates coming out will be well equipped in handling life in the real world, so to speak. And it's really important that you everything you mentioned that you do is centered around that, ensuring that the graduate is right and ready, rather than to some degree, a little bit lost as to what they should be doing or how they should be going about it. It's obviously going to be a lot on your shoulders to be able to ensure that that does occur. And it's a big ask, but I think that judging from our only short term of catching up meeting, you sound like the right man for the role, which is great. The one thing I will ask with what you just said there, and it highlighted again the importance of, yes, collaboration, but ensuring that the students have a very clear and distinct understanding of what they come out with in terms of being a chiropractor. I think the biggest thing is ensuring that we understand, the graduates understand themselves as a chiropractor rather than being, I guess, the possible, and we don't, not that I'm saying suggesting that it is that we don't want to have them come out and feel like they're, am I one or the other, or am I a little bit of all three, you know? And I guess that's where the biggest challenge and a good challenge that you'll be able to do that, molding this course as it's brand new into the current existing curriculum. I just want to ask about, I know VU uses this so-called block model teaching. They're very big on that, where basically I think my understanding is that the students focus on one subject at a time. Why do you think this particular model would suit chiropractic education and the clinical reasoning?
Yeah, I'll explain a bit about the block model for any viewers who might not be familiar. Yeah, yes. My little hand model here is this represents the normal beginning of a semester. In a standard course, a student would enroll on usually about 4 units of study, right? So it might be anatomy, physiology, a chiropractic principles course, and it's something else, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so throughout the semester, 16 weeks, they are working across these 4 different topics. They're splitting their focus. A common complaint is, you know, oh, I've got 3 different exams today, you know, midterms and finals, and how do I focus my study, right?
Yeah.
So VU takes that model and turns it sideways. And so you take 1 unit of study at a time for 4 weeks, and that's from introduction to final exams, and that's all you do, right? Mm-hmm. So in that 4 weeks, it's deeply focused single topic study, so you mm-hmm. can just completely immerse in it. Mm-hmm. And you know, research from doing this in other ways, like learning a foreign language, shows that deep immersion is the way to create retention of knowledge, and it's the way to become to develop facility in that yeah. skill.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the other is we have a basic assumption that the standard model that we've been using is the best, but we don't know that, right?
True.
Now, there's an equal chance that this model works as well or better. There is ongoing research in this realm, looking at students' longer term retention of skills and knowledge when taught through the block model. Mm-hmm. And the early signs are very positive for it, right? Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, students seem to like it. The retention has gone up. Now, the block model mm-hmm. Also at the same time brought in high engagement teaching. And so at City Tower mm-hmm. there are no lecture theaters with like 400 seats. So we're not gonna be doing, you know, the oracle of knowledge stands at the front and disseminates information, right? Yeah. First of all, teaching is changing in a very basic way, because everybody now has all the information in the universe right here on their phones, right?
Yeah.
It's accessible from everywhere. So our job as teachers is changing a bit. the problem that's being brought in with having all the information in the world is that some of the information isn't good.
You mentioned AI as an example.
it accentuates the need for teachers, which has always been there, but it's accentuating our need to help students develop intellectual curiosity and critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. Right, this is required of healthcare practitioners. So the high engagement teaching means that maximum group sizes are 35, and all the teaching is done in workshops. So it's all about the back and forth and activities in class, and that combined with out of class directed activities and self-directed learning that students want to undertake. So this high engagement environment and the focus on a single topic at a time is absolutely amenable to developing the skills and knowledge to develop competent practitioners. In addition, the critical skills are scaffolded across the units. So as the students go through the years, mm-hmm. they will hit topics again and again.
Yeah.
Right. The chiropractic units, as I've developed them, will all work based on cases. Right. So students will always start out with a case history, and move through physical exam and other tests and developing a differential diet. And they'll start from very simple, straightforward cases to more complex cases, again, hitting these real-world skills again and again. Things mm-hmm. like informed consent, culturally respectful interactions, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So not only is it deep learning one topic at a time, but then key issues are threaded throughout, right? Manual okay. skills, again, will be threaded throughout. Cervical manipulation was one highlighted by the CCEA. And of course, that'll be first introduced in 1 4-week block model.
Mm-hmm.
And but then it'll be scaffolded into multiple other units as the students go through until they reach the clinic.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great to hear because I initially when I first read that and trying to get my head around the understanding of that block modeling, I thought that if they'd finish, close the book, let's do the next one, close the book, let's move the next one. And if there was no continuation of the underlying principles, it means that then the students are almost like, okay, I don't think about that anymore. Okay, and let's move on to the next thing. In actual fact, what you're doing is you're embedding that throughout the course of the whole curriculum and over the course of the number of years, which is great. Time will tell, right? The nature of this block modeling and as you're saying, this ongoing research seems to be very positive in that manner. So we'll see how that pans out and that'll be a really positive thing for the students when they come out and they are right and ready.
Yeah, and look, it's working. It's in place for osteo and physio, right? So it's there's a bit of a history there now.
Yeah, you'd imagine that will just naturally flow on if chiropractic gets introduced into the course.
Yeah, it shows a sort of proof of concept, right? Yeah. It can work, we will also make it work for chiropractic.
So with the, I'm going to ask you a little side question regarding the, not so much the syllabus, but in the terms of the content, will the model allow you to be able to focus on, and it, correct me if I'm wrong, if it is or it isn't, more of a functional rather than a prescriptive approach? Say, for example, prescriptive meaning like, oh, I've got a sore knee, I've got a headache, I've got a sore shoulder, approach to restoring, I guess you touched on that holistic aspect of the balance and the equilibrium to the neuromuscular skeletal system. And is that something that the students will navigate through individually or collaboratively with the other physio and osteopathy?
Yet not all the units will be interprofessional education, right? So so the chiropractic students will definitely have their own cohort and be moving through the course in that way.
Right.
I guess it would be useful to talk a little bit about the course structure generally. So it is a 5-year bachelor's, master's,
mm-hmm.
And in the bachelor's, there are about half of the units are existing VU units. And those are things like anatomy, physiology, public health, evidence-based practice. There's birth, growth, and aging unit, something like that. So about mm-hmm. across the lifespan, a nutrition unit, mm-hmm. things like that. But then the other half is new chiropractic-specific units, and those are the ones that are case-focused. And concentrate on cases that chiropractors will see.
Mm-hmm. So a bit of both, functional aspect as well as prescriptive, depending on, you know, in real life situations where if they're in the clinic, you're definitely going to find people with functional issues that yeah. need attention. And then also the prescriptive. Oh, I've come in with a sore shoulder, but not specifically one or the other is what you're saying.
Yeah, look, the focus is on the whole person, right? Getting yeah, people perfect. Back to doing what they want to do in their lives. If that's, yeah. I don't know, international sport or, you know, harvesting rock melons in their back garden or lifting up their grandkids, right? Whatever it might be, that's what we want to get people perfect. Back to doing because that's yeah. what's important to them,
yeah,
right? That's absolutely. The whole idea of person-centered care is what's important to you exactly. sitting in front of me. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So chiropractors have lots of tools in their toolbox. And utilizing them in combination is shown by research to provide the highest benefit to people who come to us for care. Mm. There'll be an emphasis on developing a positive therapeutic relationship with patients, right? Mm. Communication. Mm. I've brought in a unit on interpersonal skills in communication, right? Because we can't have people relying on their phones to communicate with their patients, right? Because that's the way of communication yeah. these days. It's, you know, a chat is sending a bunch of emojis, yeah. right? Dating is swiping back and forth.
Yeah.
Right. So we need our graduates to have high-level communication skills, yes. verbal and nonverbal, in order to understand what's going on with their patients and what's important to them, right?
Mm. Mm.
We'll also, you know, work with maximizing contextual factors, which can also enhance the effects of therapeutic interventions like spinal manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also be incorporating the principles of lifestyle medicine, which I understand the ACA has mm-hmm. an interest group, an ACE group, right?
Correct.
And chiropractors are so well positioned. In fact, your last podcast was with Peter
exactly.
McGlynn, right? Yeah.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. Look, he and I chat all the time.
Yeah.
Chiropractors are so well positioned to take on that role of lifestyle medicine practitioners, yeah. right? And can provide great public benefit by doing that, combining manual therapy, that is, you know, spinal manipulation, soft tissue work, strengthening, passive and active stretching, with advice on healthy eating, restorative sleep, social support, stress management, physical activity, and avoiding risky substances. Mm. I mean, that's a huge, powerful array of tools, right, to help people live their best lives. And lifestyle medicine also incorporates an awareness of understanding structural effects on health, which are important for practitioners and patients to understand as well, right? Mm-hmm. And this is in line with the movement sort of away from PROMs, patient-related outcome measures like range of motion or pain scales, yeah. those kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. The prescriptive stuff,
yes.
to PREMs, right? Patient-related experience measures, which focus on the whole patient experience and the effect on their life. So that's how we're approaching it.
Yeah, so that's essentially the philosophical construct of the course, really, isn't it? Approaching the patient-centered care with that sort of holistic approach to caring for the individual.
Right.
That's great. Now, that's really good. Looking beyond the university, how do you see the broader chiropractic profession lending their support to students and new graduates entering into practice? How would you like to see that now that you're literally at the precipice of a brand new course? How can you engage with the general population of our profession to actively help support and lend support to the students and the potential graduates?
By offering mentorship, high quality placements, like early career opportunities, and a positive professional culture that guides new practitioners in collaborative, evidence-based environments, right? Mm-hmm. By helping new graduates undertake the role of healthcare professional, engaging in reflective practice and lifelong learning, right? Mm-hmm. That embracing lifelong learning. Evidence changes through time. We have to move with the evidence and change the way we approach patients.
And having
in
that
order
sort
to provide
of,
the best. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. And exactly what you said earlier, the nature of having to encourage that critical thinking, because it's so easy to get sucked into that AI world in terms of information that we don't think clearly or critically, ask the right questions.
Yeah. You're touching on something. You know, obviously developing this course, I've spent a lot of time pondering and
I'm sure.
You know, and taking walks in the woods and you know,
twiddling with your belly button thinking about
yeah I mean, but actually I get a lot of ideas in the shower, like standing staring at my feet like, hey, what if anyway. So a sort of philosophy of education has emerged, and I've written a paper on it and dragged in a bunch of multidisciplinary international co-authors on it, and it's under review right now at a journal, and we'll see how it goes. But some of the overarching concepts for education boil down to, well, look, we now understand that we need to approach patients in a way that suits the patients, right? We also need to just transfer that over and approach students in a way that you know is genuinely student centered. So with that in mind, we're going to help students develop a self-awareness, right? So that the better they understand themselves, the better they'll be able to approach a variety of patients from diverse backgrounds, and even help develop their own careers, right? Because a clinical education, it's great for developing clinicians, and the vast majority of our graduates are going to go on to become clinicians. But there are other careers available, right? There are research careers. There are careers in academia. There are careers in policymaking and professional regulation. And all these benefit from a good, strong clinical education. So understanding yourself and your strengths and where you can develop that will be useful to developing careers and to approaching patients after you graduate. Communication, as I touched on before, cultural respect, which is so important. Epistemic humility, which is a term I recently learned myself just a few months ago, but I really like it. And it really feeds into the next one, which is intellectual curiosity, right? Yeah. Question everything and be humble about what you claim, right? Until you can really demonstrate it. And then developing a strong professional identity. So all these ideas go into the background of the education for the students. So we want to help them develop themselves to their best potential. And that's the way, again, with that eye out there, that's the way that we will best serve the public.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, no, that's great. It's great to hear that. And good to see that you've got that bigger picture that you want of the students to have in order to graduate at the best they can. So finally, if we zoom out, say 5 to 10 years time, maybe a bit big, but let's say 5 years or so, what does success look like for the chiropractic program at VU, and what role should the profession play in helping shape the future of that course?
What will it look like? Well, you know, obviously, strong enrollments, right? In a thriving program, excellent graduate outcomes, right? We want the practices that our graduates go into to be happy with the graduates. Impactful research, right? Part of my job here is developing a research environment for the chiropractic program as a whole. I'm the only chiropractor at VU currently, but as the course rolls out year on year from 27 forward, we'll start to looking to increase the staff. And it was before I came on board, you know, a business case was put forward to the university. And that business case includes 6 full-time equivalents on the chiropractic staff, which I thought was pretty good for these days. Yeah. 3 of those research and teaching positions, and 3 in teaching focused positions. And those can be split up, right? It could be, say, one of those teaching focused positions could be 2 half-time individuals. So there's flexibility within that model as well. So I'll be looking to develop the research environment with them and ensure that even the teaching focused ones have some hand in the research culture that'll be developed at VU Chiropractic. And, you know, deep partnerships with the profession, particularly in helping students engage with intellectual curiosity and lifelong learning, you know, these postgraduate seminars that the professional associations put on and that sort of thing. So look, I see VU creating a generation of chiropractors who are confident, collaborative, and future ready.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, let's bring that all together then, hey? I really appreciate your time and obviously spending the time answering the question. We're kind of nearing the end of our podcast here, but that brings us pretty much an end to today's discussion on the new chiropractic course at Victoria University. Thank you again, Ken, for your time. I really greatly appreciate that. I know how busy you are.
No, look, Kim, thanks for inviting me on. It's my pleasure to talk about the VU course with anyone because I think it's going to be a really strong course. Certainly everything that's in place now looks great, and as I mentioned, you know, I feel like I've got really good support here at VU for my endeavors, but more importantly for the chiropractic course, because it's going to go on beyond me, right? I just happen to be fortunate enough to be, you know, the shepherd at this time, and I feel the weight of that, right? It's I know that it's very important to the profession that there be a strong, sustainable course in Victoria. It's important, and I think it's important to the public as well, because I do genuinely believe that chiropractors serve an important healthcare function within the system, and it's just been such a great opportunity. And I appreciate it every day, and I try to live up to that responsibility every day.
No, that's fantastic. No, I do appreciate it. And I can tell the passion in your voice and when you talk about it and how excited you become about the course. So, and yes, like I said, really greatly appreciate your time and your thoughts on it. So obviously we've covered the thinking behind the program, how it has been designed and the opportunities and challenges that come with it, launching a new course in the current education and healthcare environment. As with any new program, much will be determined over time, as you said, by how the curriculum is delivered, how students engage with it, and how graduates pretty much ultimately integrate into practice. This conversation is one step in understanding that direction, and I really, you know, can't thank you enough for sharing that today, Ken. Thanks for listening, everybody. If this topic is relevant to your work, teaching, or future study, feel free to share the episode, and I look forward to continuing these conversations around chiropractic education and the profession's future in upcoming episodes.